You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're going to talk about communicating with parents and families. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes we might challenge your belief and maybe even stretch your comfort zone. But most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but we do hope is to cause some shaken bones. You know, this topic about communicating with parents and families is such a crucial one. But we talk about how important it is that we communicate with children, but frequently when we might have to talk about is how we talk with the adults. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, bless you again.
With parents and families. Do you find that that's an important concept to think about, Amy?
Well, you know, Dan, being a family child care provider,
right.
When we bring people into our program and into our home, we're bringing people into our family, basically. And yes. The root of every, you know, the root of all of everything that we do has to do with a relationship. And if there is no communication and there's no back and forth, you know, sharing of ideas, then that relationship doesn't exist. So, you know, communication with parents and building the relationship, not only with the children, but a long-time relationship with the parents is what probably the most important thing that we do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what some people do, though, is they think that there's only one form of communication, and it might be written as the only form of communication, forgetting that parents and guardians have a different learning styles. So reading a message of communication might not necessarily be the appropriate tool for all of your families, or talking with somebody might be, not be. You really have to pay a special attention to what is the most effective communication style with the families that you're dealing with. Don't you think so?
Yes. And depending on what you're communicating about, too, sometimes it requires, you know, a more face-to-face, one-on-one type of thing. Sometimes a phone call is okay. Sometimes a Facebook message is good, you know, a text or an email, you know, depending on the severity of what you need to talk about. You know, sometimes you need to make sure that you have that time for that, for the one-on-one. And sometimes it's just, you know, a blanket message that goes out to all of the parents and different things that are going on.
I'm thinking that, and I could be wrong, but I'm thinking in the home, it might be easier, not always, to have daily communication as parents bring their child into your setting than it might be for a program outside your home where you have 18 to 25 children in a classroom, but I still believe that some form of daily contact with the individual that's bringing the child is important. The challenge becomes if they're brought by bus or in a picked up in a van, then the communication, the daily communication changes. But I really think that some form of daily opportunity is crucial, don't you?
I do. And, you know, when it's funny that you mention this right now, because we have a couple of families who've had some you know, changes in their schedule and different things. And sometimes grandma or grandpa have been picking up, or a different parent than we're used to seeing is picking up. And it completely changes the dynamics of like the communication, you know, because if you're used to talking with, for example, if mom has been picking up forever and you're used to talking with mom, and then you don't talk with mom for like a week because, you know, something, she was really busy at work that week or whatever, and someone else is picking up. And then you're just like, wow, you know, you miss it. And you're like, it just kind of throws you out of whack a little bit.
Yeah. And I think it's so crucial. And it doesn't, and they like to hear, especially if you have infants and toddlers, which you do, but they want to hear what that child's day was like, how did it go, because they, in some cases, feel guilty when they leave a child, when they have to work or whatever. And so including them in that process, I think, especially for the very young child, is really crucial in that component. If you were to guess or suggest, what are some key communication issues that need to be, if somebody wanted to create some form of communication with, are there particular things that you think need to happen that will make that successful?
Well, first you need to know like the preferred method of communication. Because obviously if you're sending an email to somebody who never checks their email, messages aren't going to get there. So knowing, you know, knowing the best way to communicate, and a lot of times having a lot of different options, because if something doesn't, you know, if somebody's phone's battery dies and they like to text, but having options to connect with them in other ways as well, because, you know, with mobile phones now and a lot of people not having home phones, batteries dying on phones and then phones getting left somewhere where they're charging happens a lot. And so just being aware of, you know, some of the communication roadblocks that might be there as well, and having backups for communicating. But, you know, I tend to communicate in as many ways as possible throughout the day. And I always tell parents, and because the children, most of the time, we don't have a lot of trouble with drop-offs here. It happens once in a while, but most of the time, the children don't want to leave at the end of the day. And that's the time that, you know, that's the biggest struggle is getting them out the door. So it really, drop-offs tend to be a lot harder for parents. And, you know, I've always been of the, you know, we have an open door, but if the phone rings, if I'm not super busy, I'm going to pick it up. And so I always encourage parents, if they're having a hard day, to call and check in. They're welcome to call and check in, you know, as often as they want to, or shoot me a text. And I'm really good about using my phone to take pictures with the children. And if the children are really engrossed in doing something really awesome, or I get a great shot of them throughout the day, I have a lot of parents who absolutely love getting text messages with pictures. And we have a classroom site through Shutterfly. And it's a free service that Shutterfly offers, and you can set it up so that just the emails of the parents of the children who are enrolled have access to that. And so and then I upload all of the pictures that I take throughout the day from my phone, and every Sunday Shutterfly sends an automatic message, so I don't even have to remember to do it, to let parents know that however many hundreds of new photos have been uploaded that week. And it'll give them a couple highlights of it, and then they can go to the site and look at the pictures whenever they would like as well. So, you know, just finding little ways to give them an insight into what their child's day has been.
And what I like about what you're saying is that it helps parents feel they are included in their child's life, even if they're not there, and that your program is not only for the child, it really services the family. And I think that creates that sense of belonging that is really what you want to set up with families who enroll in any program, is that you are an essential part of what we do here. If a parent has, do you have parent-teacher conferences in your program, or is that just simply done as your daily process?
you know, it we don't have anything formal set up for parent teacher conferences, but we're, you know, we communicate with parents, you know, pretty much on a daily basis. But if there's ever a concern or a question, or you know, we're happy to schedule any time to talk with parents. And a lot of times, Dan, if there's something serious going on, I don't like to talk about children in front of children unless they're part of the conversation. So if there's something that has to be talked about, you know, where the child is not there that we need to address, then, you know, we'll set up a time to have a phone call. Most often it's a phone call or a time to meet where the child might still be playing outside, where I might have an opportunity to talk with a parent where the child is not right in that area.
Right. And I think that demonstrates respect for everyone in terms of the not talking in front of the child. I think that's important for all people to think about. In programs that are outside of homes, I find frequently that sometimes the communication pattern might be set up in a more formalized fashion. And one of the things that I often worry about is that formalized fashion might not be comfortable with the family or parent that they're talking with, because their past experience in school might have been rather negative. So to formulate something that is anywhere similar to that might be intimidating and very difficult for that parent to come to, or even when they do attend, to feel comfortable enough to really be sincere and honest. So I think we have to be careful in terms of how we create that, and whether or not it's going to feel comfortable with the families that we're serving in that approach. So taking a look at what is the family style, what is the family communication, is really essential. And then often parents are busy, you know, so to try to schedule a time that's convenient for them, not necessarily us, gets in the way sometimes in terms of that approach. But I think it's really crucial to look at.
Definitely. And, you know, I worked in a center before running my own program, and you know, I'd work the mornings most of the time. So at drop off in the morning, I'd have an opportunity to communicate with parents. But it is different when you've got a lot more children in, you know, in your classroom. And like you had mentioned earlier, with buses and different things. And so it's a challenge to figure out what's the best way to, you know, still involve the parents and have it be a comfortable, you know, the comfortable communication and relationship building back and forth.
Yeah, I love the idea. I remember whenever a child didn't show up, I would always call to find out if everything's okay. I mean, just a gentle, not because I was inquisitive, but more of I was concerned and wanted the family to know I was concerned. And I think those kind of gentle touches, if you have a parent that comes in and you know that they're having a hard day with the child, just a simple note or a simple call saying, "Hope your day is better." I think it says to the family member that you care and that you really are concerned and want them to feel accepted in your program. Those kinds of simple things, I think, mean a lot to the parents who enroll children in our programs. Don't you think so?
You know, I know they mean a lot to the parents that have been in our program. And I know it's one of the reasons why we, you know, a lot of the our clients often look for a family-based program, because they know that they're going to get more of that. And it, you know, not to say that it couldn't happen in a center, but being a home-based program with a smaller number of clientele, and Dan, my families don't leave. It's not a bad thing, but you know, I have a number of families that are with me who have been with us for 11 years. And so, you know, building that relationship and that having that communication back and forth is, you know, has been a crucial piece of that of, you know, retaining clients for the time frame that we do. And like I said, it's like bringing somebody in as part of our family, because they are and they're here for an extended period of time. So.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you're viewing communication as relationship building, not necessarily communication building, because that's really what it is you want to establish positive relationships with the individuals who are enrolling people in your program, whether it's a home-based program or not. Now, Amy, what about, I'm one of the individuals that believes that we should not surprise the adults in children's lives. So, for example, if we're going to do something in your program or my program or a preschool, whatever, that you know might demonstrate a little bit of concern for the family, I'm a believer that bring it up ahead of time, talk about what it is that you're thinking about introducing in your environment so that they're not coming to you angry or upset, especially if their child comes home and says something and they're totally surprised by what might have been done. Is that your experience too in your program? Do you let people know ahead of time if there's something that you think might concern them?
I try. But, you know, you never know what a child is going to say or do. So there have been a lot of situations where, you know, because children pick up all kinds of stuff from everywhere. And so there have been times where things have happened here that there was absolutely no way to do it ahead of time. But, you know, and being child driven, most of the stuff that we do comes from the children. So we try to be as proactive as possible when there's something that is said or, you know, things go in a certain direction that could be concerning to other families. You know, of course, we maintain confidentiality, but I do try to send out, most of the time it's a mass email to everyone to kind of let them know that, you know, this is kind of what's been going on. And a lot of my emails always end with, and as always, any questions or concerns, shoot me an email, call me, you know, call me however you want to reach out to me. But yes, we do try to be proactive when things may be concerning to families.
Well, and with your families, because they stay with you for a longer period of time, it might not be as challenging. I'm thinking about the preschool teacher who every year different group of families, that the child might go home covered in something that was exploring and really great in the classroom, but if you've got a family member who wasn't prepared for that kind of look, then that surprise attack sometimes creates fear, anxiety, and sometimes disbelief. So I think sometimes it's helpful to help parents know, especially as they enroll their child, the kinds of things that is going to occur and how they might occur differently as the year progresses, and the kinds of materials that might be brought home and those that might not be brought home is important, especially for those new families. As I learned, I remember at one time I didn't, and children would go home completely covered, even though you try to clean them up, but, you know, there were paint on the bottom of their feet that wasn't there when they first arrived. A little anxiety for some families. So I often thought, well, if we let people know ahead of time that this is what's going to happen, it creates a little more comfort.
And, you know, part of that has to do with, too, when you're interviewing and you're enrolling, you know, I like to do those types of things at the busiest and sometimes the messiest time of the day, just because it's real. And having them come in to see what really happens and being comfortable, you know, because we're not going to change who we are because someone else might have a different idea. Like, you know, we're going to allow children to be messy and we're going to allow them to play in the mud and do all of those things. And if a family comes in and they're not comfortable with that, we're not going to change who we are for somebody else coming in. So I think it's really important to have those discussions, like you said, ahead of time and prior to enrollment in the program.
Yeah, I think it's real crucial that some sort, it doesn't have to be formal orientation, but I really think that we owe it to our families to look at helping them understand and what we're going to do in our program and why we're going to do it. Not overload information, but just so that they know that we're going to get real down and messy here, and that there might be times when your child comes home a different color than they originally came here in the program, and that those kinds of things are going to happen. And just do email me or call me if you have some concerns about that. But I think it's crucial that, especially at the beginning, that families know that this is the kind of program that you're going to operate, and that you would lay your life down for the child, but you're not necessarily going to change that program for because somebody doesn't necessarily like what it is that you're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, having some communication and talk about not just about, you know, being messy or that type of thing, but also talking about, you know, some of the typical things that will come up throughout the year. You know, and I know we've done episodes about some of this stuff before, but letting parents know that, you know, your child is going to be hit, your child is going, you know, there's a chance your child is going to be bit, and, you know, all of the different things that we expect in terms of things that are developmentally appropriate, and, you know, sharing information about that ahead of time and how your program handles those types of things when they happen is really important as well.
Absolutely crucial, I think. Now, what about parent involvement? Letting parents volunteer. You might not have that as much because in most cases, most of yours, both of them work maybe, but I'm wondering what your thoughts about parents, or maybe you do, parent volunteers.
We don't have a lot of parent volunteers. We have, you know, when we have special things going on, like when we go camping, for example, and I know I've talked about our camping quite a bit, but I always like to have extra eyes and ears at the campground. So, you know, I ask for extra help at that time of year. But I also have two of my assistants and emergency backup providers are parents in our program who have been with us forever. And so, you know, some of our families are part-time. And so we have had parents in. And I do love parent involvement and having them being involved. But one of the struggles that we run into, again, is that we're in a home. And we have a small program. And when you start to put more big bodies into the space, I start to weigh the, you know, the benefit versus the, are we prohibiting children from being able to do things because we're in their way? Are there too many big bodies in the way for them to really do what they, you know, what they want to do?
Right. And that's something you have to consider. I think in a program outside of home, you might have, you know, the opportunity because there's more space and there's more children, of course. But having parents involved, again, gives them some ownership to the program. And I think that's an exciting part of the having parent involvement. Well, we're almost at the end, and I wanted to talk about a subject that I think is really crucial right now, too, Amy, is the idea of adults who communicate thoughts to children that they might not be capable of sorting. For example, we just went through a major controversial election, and how I've been telling you earlier that I've seen children crying over an issue that they're not really sure they even understand, but parents or adults are talking about it and are angry or fearful, and so the children sense that too, and they aren't able to sort. So you and I have been talking about how important it is to keep some of those issues that are more adult-orientated away from children's concepts in terms of their understanding, don't you think so?
Yes, and you know, there are things that are, there are heavy subjects and heavy things that children are exposed to. You know, like we did an episode on death previously, that's a pretty heavy topic too, but that is, you know, the children relate more to that. So when we're talking about adult issues, like the election, or, you know, concerns that the children have absolutely no control over, and the adults really don't have a lot of control over either. You know, when we don't have control over those types of things, really keeping the children, you know, giving them only the information that they can handle and not giving them this extra fear or the extra worry or the concern, because it is really hard for them to process it and hard for them to understand. And they're only getting bits and pieces, and then they're only understanding bits and pieces of what they're getting. And so it causes a lot of undue stress. That's, you know, stress at home, stress at school, you know, and a lot of stuff starts to come out in their play. And like you'd mentioned, children crying and different things. Fortunately, we haven't had a lot of that happening within our program this year with things. But I know I've seen it all over Facebook in terms of other providers have been mentioning having a really hard time on how to help the children understand things. And honestly, in my opinion with that, again, because our views may be different from other people's views, that it's really not a place for us to be imposing that upon the children, but to give the children a safe place to, you know, to talk, to say what they need to say and talk things out. And, you know, if they need to work things out through their play, giving them that opportunity and being a safe place and reassuring them that safe place is going to continue to be there for them if they're afraid.
Right. And it's important that adults talk among themselves about issues that are really concerning them. But I think we have to be real careful, like you said, that is the subject appropriate to be discussed in front of a child? Death is one that I think is natural because it happens around children through pets and et cetera. But subjects like election or police brutality or violent racial discrimination, and those are all very, very important subjects, but they're not, their child's brain is not set up to comprehend those issues at this particular point. So it's really important that adults have those conversations, but we want to be real careful in terms of how those are communicated with children, because they really, it sometimes develops fear, and fear actually develops no learning in terms of the process. So I think it's really essential that we consider what they are capable of understanding.
Right. And again, you know, going back to, you know, we've talked about this time and time again, anytime we're, you know, any time that kind of stuff is coming up, or if we're doing stuff with the election or that kind of thing, the children are not bringing that to the table. So it's not child driven, and it's not appropriate at that point. And if the children are bringing concerns in that to the table about some of these topics, again, you know, providing that safe place for them. But really having the conversation with the parents about some of these topics being a little too heavy for children to carry.
Right. I was talking with some family members a while back regarding they watched the news during dinner time. And, of course, most of the news is filled with stuff that really is even hard for adults sometimes to comprehend, let alone children. And I had indicated that might not be the best time to watch TV, plus the fact that it really does stimulate some fears and some anxieties, because children aren't able to sort between the real and the fantasy components. So looking at this in terms of what subjects are relevant and whether or not the child instigates the conversation versus whether or not it's coming from the outside world of the adult, I think is another crucial component of this. Well, we're at the end of our broadcast. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones again. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more bone rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.